That just is one of many signs of perhaps a not so joyous relationship between Kathy Hochul and Antonio Delgado.
Hi there, it's WAMC News Director Ian Pickus. And on this episode of the WAMC News Podcast, what we're expecting in the new legislative session. It's a quick turnaround from the holidays to the business of governing New York State, and leaders are getting ready for the legislative session that starts January 8th. After November's electoral victories by Republicans nationwide, it remains to be seen how Democrats who control Albany will respond. And the new session comes halfway through Governor Kathy Hochul's first full term, with the governor facing lingering low popularity in polls. Joining us now to set up the new year is WNYC Capitol reporter John Campbell. John, thanks for being with us.
Ian, thanks so much for having me.
So I know everyone's trying to figure out the answer to this, but what effect do you think the elections will have on what happens in this upcoming session?
Well, I mean, it has some level of effect, and that's in large part because right now state leaders aren't quite sure what kind of federal funding they'll get for, say, the MTA, the New York City Transit System, which is something that requires billions and billions of dollars of upgrades, and Democrats were hopeful to have a Kamala Harris administration because they thought that they'd have a better shot at getting more funding for that system. And, you know, it's not just that. There are many different joint federal-state programs, the biggest being the Medicaid and Medicare systems, that, you know, New York is reliant on federal funding. And that's a big question under this Trump administration, is what that will look like going forward. So that has this big trickle down effect on the state budgets and state programs. So, yeah, it'll have a significant effect in ways that we're still not quite sure of, but in ways that the governor says that she's preparing for right now.
What do we know about the Hochul-Trump dynamic?
Well, so far, the governor, Governor Hochul, has taken a kind of cautious approach with President Trump, President-elect Trump, I should say. She has had a conversation with him where she did say she spoke with him about the New York City transit system. And she's repeatedly said in public that she wants to appeal to Trump as a former New Yorker. I mean, he was based in New York for his entire upbringing and adult life until recently when he changed his residence to Florida. But she says Donald Trump is a New Yorker and she wants to appeal to those New Yorker sensibilities. So that is the approach she's taken so far. She has not taken an aggressive approach as, say, Gavin Newsom out in California, who called a special session to quote-unquote Trump-proof California ahead of Trump's inauguration. Kathy Hochul hasn't taken that approach, although she has been doing some things behind the scenes, as we said. For one, she says New York State will have a policy about, or her administration, I should say, will have a policy about deportation and when to cooperate and not cooperate with mass deportation efforts. We have not seen that yet to this point, but that is something that we're going to be looking forward to prior to Donald Trump's inauguration, because he's made mass deportation a major part of his and the Republican Party's platform.
Now, you were with the governor the other day when I think she was returning some Loganberry cans to Price Chopper.
Loganberry is—that's a nice little touch there. That is a great beverage that people of Western New York love quite a bit. Very, very sweet for the uninitiated, but yeah, no, that not quite Loganberry cans, but she was at the Price Chopper, and she's been to a couple different grocery stores at this point, trying to tout what she's calling her inflation refund plan. And what that is essentially, she wants to give every New Yorker a check for up to $500, and that is what she's saying is, well, you know, our sales tax numbers were inflated, no pun intended, for a period of a couple years, and we took more money in part because of inflation driving the price of goods up, so then you pay more in sales tax. And the way she's painting that is, well, we're just going to give that money back to you. Now, there's some issues with that statement. One is the current fiscal year, the state is not seeing the state's projections for sales tax revenue are right where they should be. I mean, the numbers that are coming in to this point of sales tax revenue coming in matches the state projections. But this is apparently for the previous couple years where inflation did increase the price of goods. That being said, it's not like that money's just sitting in a pot somewhere ready to be sent back. We still have some questions about exactly how she plans on paying for that. That would be about a $3 billion expense. But so far, legislative leaders seem to be on board with it, and we should get more questions when the governor puts out her state budget proposal in late January.
Now, what are some of her other priorities that are likely to be announced in the run-up to the State of the State January 14th?
Well, I'm not so sure if they'll be announced in the run-up to the State of the State on January 14th, but one thing we are really listening for is her long-awaited proposal on cell phones in schools. Last year, the governor made clear that she thinks that cell phones should be restricted in some way or banned altogether in public schools. And her reasoning for that is she thinks it's a distraction, that she did a listening tour across the state where she spoke to teachers and administrators, and there seems to be somewhat of a consensus that the phones are a major distraction during the day, that especially in high school, that most students or many students, I should say, have smartphones. We live in a smartphone era now, and you know, they're constantly playing with them through the school day. But there is another side to that argument, and it's one that we've heard from Assembly Speaker Carl Hasty, who has a young kid. And they say, well, you know, parents want to be able to contact their children in the case of an emergency, or vice versa, for their children to be able to contact them in the case of an emergency. So there is a certain amount of needle threading that needs to happen there. The governor has been saying for months that she will have a proposal, and we're expecting to hear that in the State of the State address.
Let's talk for a moment about a person who presumably will be in the room at the State of the State address, and that is her Lieutenant Governor Antonio Delgado. There's been a ton of speculation, including a New York Times report about his potential designs on another office. What's your understanding of the state of play between the Hochul and Delgado teams right now?
Yeah, it's certainly a strange dynamic at this point. I mean, Governor Hochul herself was the lieutenant governor under Andrew Cuomo, and she was a good soldier, so to speak. I mean, she traveled all over the state on behalf of Andrew Cuomo and touted the Cuomo administration agenda and attended many, many, many events in lieu of the governor. And Antonio Delgado seems to be taking a different approach. I mean, he has been, you know, he was a former congressperson in the Hudson Valley, and he took on this role as lieutenant governor after Kathy Hochul's first lieutenant governor was indicted. That was Brian Benjamin, a former state senator. And yeah, you're right. There has been some noise recently that maybe he himself has aspirations for higher office. That's noise that he hasn't really done much to tamper down, and in fact has kind of stoked the flames from time to time. I mean, he had a PAC where he was raising money for congressional races, other congressional races. So yeah, it does seem like he has aspirations for office that an office that is not the lieutenant governor's office. The lieutenant governor's doesn't have a whole lot of responsibility in New York State, aside from being next in line to the governor's office should the governor resign or step down or whatever. So yeah, that is a really interesting dynamic. And you saw it play out in kind of an interesting way recently when there was the Electoral College vote, the official Electoral College vote in the New York State Senate chamber. Kathy Hochul was the president of the Electoral College. Antonio Delgado was one of the electors, and he didn't have exactly a prime seat in the chamber. He was kind of seated in the back away from many of the other elected officials. And that just is one of many signs of perhaps not so joyous relationship between Kathy Hochul and Antonio Delgado, her lieutenant governor at this moment.
Now, speaking of leverage or potential leverage, you know, we had this upheaval in the country in November, but in Albany, all the familiar faces are going to be back in the same roles in the new year. The assembly speaker was reelected by his conference. The Senate majority leader was reelected by her conference, and the minority leaders also. So they're all reading the same polls that we are about Governor Hochul's standing. How do you think that will influence the way this session goes, with people knowing that Hochul is on her heels to a degree?
Yeah, I mean, not even just to a degree. She very much is on her heels. She's not up for re-election until 2026, but the poll numbers right now universally are not good for her. She has a low approval rating among New York State voters and New York State adults. So yeah, I mean, she's got some work to do, and I think that's part of the reason why you've seen her kind of embrace more populist items, most notably that inflation refund that we talked about earlier, the checks of up to $500 that she wants to send to New Yorkers, every New Yorker. I mean, that is something that is designed to be populist, to be popular with a broad spectrum of people who are going to get this check, and you know, in the governor's best political interest would be for them to recognize that it came from the governor, and maybe that helps. And you know, that is kind of the cynical way of looking at that. But you know, us reporters, we are cynical people from time to time, I will admit to. But you know, it paints the legislative session in the sense that everybody knows that Kathy Hochul has to boost her standing among New Yorkers if she wants to be reelected and fend off not just a challenge from a Republican, but potentially a primary challenge, whether it's from Antonio Delgado, her lieutenant governor, or maybe Richie Torres, the congressman from the Bronx, who is also making noise about a potential primary challenge to Kathy Hochul. So, yeah, I mean, listen, we live in a political system, and so everything does get viewed at in the lens of politics. And, of course, that'll have some level of impact on the legislative session in 2025.
Are there any big issues that were left over from last year, particularly from the legislature's point of view, that did not get over the finish line that you think might have a better chance this year?
Well, I mean, I don't know if it's necessarily from the legislature's point of view, but there's a number of issues that I hesitate to call them perennial issues, because that comes with a certain connotation, but they are issues that get debated year over year, and you know, the advocates and supporters of these measures hold out hope that maybe this year is the year. The one that comes immediately to mind is what's called the Medical Aid in Dying Act. That's a bill that would allow people to, if they have a terminal illness that meets certain specifications, they would be able to seek a medication from their doctor that ends their life. And that is one that comes up year over year. It has not gotten a vote, but I have no doubt that there will be advocates in the halls of the Capitol trying to make 2025 the year that that happens. Another one that I'm going to be watching is wine in grocery stores. That's if you live in New York, you know that you cannot buy a bottle of wine in your grocery store. And there already is a push forming from people like the Wegmans chain of grocery stores and the Price Chopper chain and Tops. And they're all kind of banding together to try to push for a bill that would allow wine sales in grocery stores in New York. That's one that has gone back for a decade or more and has not passed, in part because liquor stores organize against it. And they know that, or they fear, I should say, that if grocery stores, big box grocery stores, get the ability to sell wine in New York State, that could be harmful to their business, or even potentially threaten their business, threaten to put them out of business. So that is another one of these issues that has come up many times over the years, and it looks like this year is yet again another one where it might get some serious consideration, but it's not over till it's over, and we don't know if it'll ever get over the finish line.
You know, I was looking at the legislative calendar, and if I'm not mistaken, they're in town through Thursday, March 27th, ahead of Tuesday, April 1st. So how likely is it that we'll see an on-time budget this year?
Well, you know, Governor Hochul, since she's taken office, she has not had a on-time budget. And that is, you know, Governor Cuomo had prioritized on-time budgets after many years of late budgets in New York. The budget is due March 31st for the fiscal year that begins April 1st. But so long as lawmakers pass, you know, these temporary spending bills that kind of keep the government moving in New York, and more importantly, keep the payroll paid, there aren't a ton of huge consequences to a budget that is 1 week late, 2 weeks late, 3 weeks late. And you've seen Governor Hochul, since she took office in 2021, kind of try to use that to her strategic advantage, in part because lawmakers don't get, their pay is withheld while the budget's late. So, you know, the governor has said many, many times that she prioritizes a good budget over an on-time budget. I don't see why that would change this year. So I think probably the chances of an on-time budget, just if history is our guide, are relatively low. But, you know, hope springs eternal, Ian.
WNYC Capital reporter John Campbell, a member of our New York Public News Network here. John, we're looking forward to all of your great stories coming in the new session, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Ian, and thank you for having me.
Okay, that does it for this episode of the WAMC News Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time, I'm Ian Pickus.